Welcome to LeagueCast. Hello and welcome to episode 411 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick Thinking Cooper. Joining me in 2020 is Aiden Frost Rockards.
We haven't done one of these in a while, in a whole decade.
In a decade. And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Hi, Dad and other Dad. I'm so happy you're here with me in this bright new year full of happiness and joy.
And fire.
True. I guess we're in Australia?
Yeah.
Oh, poor one out. Hey, this week we've got a lot of news. We got Champion League, Skin and Event League. We've got some ranked season news, patch notes for League and TFT, one review. We've got some LCS discussion. We're going to be talking about the new LCS format that they just released today. Roundtable, both last week's and this week's, and we're close it off with three emails. Aiden, how was your the past 2 weeks for you? Past two weeks and a couple days.
We're good. League of Legends wise, I actually played the game. I'll have you know.
You played a lot, right?
I've been playing a fair bit. I played a lot of ARAMs.
You've been crushing
which
him, right?
I lost a lot of ARAMs. I was like, I think I'm 2 for 12 in the past 14 games, or two wins, 12 losses in the past like 14 games or something. So they were good. Kept losing. Kept like getting better comps in some games and losing, kept getting worse comps in games and losing. And then we had Kennedy and I had a game where the enemy team had an AFK and we lost that one. So I decided to like not play League anymore. And then I was like, nah, I'll play. And then we started winning kind of sometimes. So I think I broke the curse. It's a little bit demotivating when you lose like 10 games in a row and then the enemy team wins a 4v5. So it feels like you're not meant to win those at some point. And then I have to atone for my sins, but I've played some Yuumi this past couple weeks. I'm sorry. I don't think I'm gonna stop.
Oh boy.
I know.
How have you been playing her?
Good. No, I've been playing her bottom with Rukong.
Yeah, so. I can see those stats, Aiden. They're pretty strong.
Yeah, she's pretty good. It's on a Smurf account. Like it's like high gold MMR, but still, it's gross. Wukong Yuumi bottom. We'll probably be talking about that during our Metakaiser type thing, because I feel like it's something that most of you guys can pick up. It's pretty easy to pilot, and it's pretty fun to play. Even Yuumi's like actually kind of fun. The only problem I'm having with Yuumi is it's hard as fuck to like learn when to ward on her, because like you always want to be attached to someone, and then when you're not attached to someone, you feel like you're going to die.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm still learning that, but she's actually really, really fun overall to play. Other than that, I spent a week in the Chicagoland area for New Year's. I spent time with my girlfriend, had a wonderful New Year's, saw a lot of the boys, ran the White Claw Gauntlet, Kennedy and I did. and yeah, it was overall a lot of fun. Anything else? I don't think I've really done much else. I've played some like other games in my time off. I played through Outer Wilds, which it might be one of my favorite games of all time. Yeah, I've played a bunch of stuff. I played a game called Super Liminal, which is like a super cool puzzle game. I've had some fun. It's nice not always playing League all the time, but the rank season starts on the 10th, so it's time to get back to grinding. What about you, Colton?
Yeah, so I don't think I've been on the show for 3 weeks.
True, you weren't on the last
yes.
one. The little homie... The solo dolo we
yeah,
did.
Yeah, the duo puo, if you will. I heard mm-hmm. that bullshit. I was actually listening to that on my hour commute home tonight.
Ooh.
It was wonderful. So, good job on the trivia for the most part, Aiden. You did yeah. your best, bud. So, my few weeks. So, the last show, I was in Chicago visiting my family for Christmas. That went pretty well. Got to go to a Christmas party at Alex's, former host, friend of the show. So we all hung out, saw all my buds, exchanged some awesome white elephant gifts, had a great time. Came on back down here and played a lot of Don't Starve together. It's a game that every now and then I just pick back up and will, like, sink hours upon hours into. Been playing a lot of that, have a nice world going now that's, like, pretty self-sustaining. So I can just kind of do some of the more fun aspects of the game that aren't just trying to stay alive. Played some League, mostly, like, ARAMs and some normals. Got a few more champions off the A to Z list. I think I'm... last one I did was Darius, so my next one's Diana, I believe.
Yeah, someone banned Diana that game. Mm-hmm. And then you hit us with the Ashe mid instead.
Yeah, and I almost carried us, too.
Well, almost carried us, like, in Champ Select, and then the game started.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's not a joke.
Yeah, so I'm excited for the ranked season to come up. I think I might, like, hard one trick for my first, like, 100 games or something. I think that might be, like, a goal I set for myself, is to, like, try and have, like, 100 games on one character before I start just trolling and picking everything under the sun.
What character are you going to play?
I was going to say, Nick, do you want to bet on if he does that? I was gonna suggest that, but both of us would say, no, that's not going to happen, so that's not really
yeah.
much
Yeah. And the thing is, like, if we both say no, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
I haven't decided on a character yet. But if statistics over the past years have shown me anything, it's that it should be Kha'Zix.
Yeah, it probably should be Kha'Zix.
So maybe that'll be my New Year's resolution, is to play 100 games of Kha'Zix. And not just trash my rank early in the season like I normally do. I'm trying to think if anything else has really been going on. I'm back to being employed. So now I've got two jobs and I'm working like 60 hours a week, so that's fun. Yikes. And I have a...
Is this your first week of, like, full
yeah.
work?
Yeah.
How is it?
It's been pretty good. I'm, like, learning their stuff, and they do things very differently than what I'm used to, and at least so far my impression of it is that a lot of things are very redundant, so I can't wait to have, like, enough of a bearing that I can start being like, this is bad, and we should do it in a better way, but I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. I'm just the...
Do you think it's intentional redundancy, or...?
No, I think that it's poor design. Like, some of the stuff, it's just, like... I don't want to get into, like, the nitty-gritty. Maybe we could talk about it after the show, but it's just, like...
Yeah, sure.
Really, really inefficient in certain places. But other than that, gotcha. I think the only other notable thing... I've been, like, absolutely binge-watching fucking Letterkenny, which is a show on Hulu.
Letterkenny?
It's real funny. I think mm-hmm. I've been watching it now for probably like 8 days, and I think I'm almost at season 7. Yeah, I've been watching a lot of Letterkenny. So yeah, that's my last 3 weeks, I suppose. I'll hand it over to you, Nick. How were your New Year's festivities?
They were good. I celebrated New Year's with my girlfriend and some of her friends and our mutual friends who came in town, and we were up for a very long time. No one left until like 3 a.m. and I wanted people to leave earlier than that, but and so did she. But that's all right, we had fun. It was one of those things where it's like, all right, I'm glad everyone's having fun. Also, I'm very tired. But it was a good time. My Christmas was super good. I spent it with my family and a little bit with my girlfriend's family. I finally did it. I finally bought and received my Yeezys that I wanted for a very long time, but I did it. They are the most comfortable shoe I've ever worn in my entire life.
Ellie.
I don't think I'm being biased in that sense, but it feels like I'm walking on a pillow the entire time. What else have I done? Oh, I've been playing a lot of League of Legends. I am only 94 points away from the 2200 I need for the 100 prestige points that I need for one prestige skin.
Yeah.
So almost there, very close. Finished up the 340 point grind yesterday, which is cool. And then I've been playing a lot of RuneScape. I'm into it. I did a lot of agility this week. or these past couple weeks, got my Graceful outfit. I finished my quest that I needed for Recipe for Disaster, and now I'm starting that. So very excited. It'll be like the first time I've ever done that quest ever, and I've played this game for a long time. But yeah, that's pretty much what I've been up to. So I guess we'll get into the podcast.
Only other thing, at New Year's, we played one 10-turn game of Mario Party, and I crushed Poontang at it, by the way.
Yeah.
As you can see, I just posted a picture of me being the superstar.
You're fucking huge, dude.
Yeah.
You been working out, bud?
It was good.
Oh, yeah. Kennedy posted that picture.
it's fun. yeah. It was a lot of fun. We were, like, playing kind of teams, and Kennedy and yeah. I played, and she played one game, and, she played, and we
she
won
played the game.
She yeah. played Mario Party like I played Pummel Party.
It was just yeah. like, the game was a Mario Party thing where you had to, like, you start at the top of the screen, you had to, like, fall down, like, dodging all these clouds and guys. I'm like, okay, all you gotta do is you gotta, like, just try to fall all the way down. She lands on the first cloud and just stands there for, like, 5 seconds. And you're like, oh, I thought I was, like, supposed to wait for something to appear so I could, like, climb. And I'm like, nope, that's the exact opposite of what you're supposed to do.
That's but, pretty funny.
We crushed it, so.
Nice. Good job.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so that brings us into the show proper. Before we get into the news, we're going to announce our patrons because we haven't done that in a while. I guess since last month. Our
Don't
newest
you mean
patrons
fucking
are...
last decade?
Last decade, yeah. It has been 10 calendar years uh-huh. since we talked mm-hmm. about this. So since the last month, or I guess last episode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had Joseph, Patrick, Dragon, Jesus, and... Tickaroo, I hope I pronounced that correctly, support us. And then all of our patrons, we'd like to thank real quick. Aaron, Alex, Annie, Blooper, Boganblade, Brother Dust, Burning Fear, Caleb, Christian, Chris, Coca-Cola, Dragon Jesus, Eddie, Eden, Grey White, Grundlebutter, Howling Wind, I'm in the Bushes, Isaac, Jighi, Joachim, Joseph, John, Josh, Joshua, Kennedy, Kirk, Crix, Lil Varnavis, Mariah, oh, I almost said your last name, Mariah, Matthew, Michael, Mr. Turch, Mountain Drew, Nicholas, Pards Bay, Patrick, Purple Play Panda, Red Lefty, Ryan, Speedy Spikes, Tekuru, sorry I butchered your name, Tanner, Tyler, Yashiru, and Zachary.
Whew. Hell yeah. We got thank a family
you,
going now.
Thank you, everyone. Yeah. We are a little group of homies. A little gang of more than eight.
true.
So, yeah, let's...
more less than 1,000.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah. For now, that's what I meant. let's get into the news. So, I didn't see the first one. Aiden, you want to talk about this one?
Yeah, so there's some leaks, like, I don't know, even like a month ago, and then they were like taken off Reddit. So I think there's like all these suspicions on like League Reddit that they have like some sort of like partnership with Riot now. So like they're trying to like do stuff to be in Riot's best interest. So they removed all these leaks, or they just like took them down because like they were not like reputable or whatever. But I do think there is like a little like League subreddit Riot thing going on now. Maybe I'm wrong though. Maybe that's just me being skeptical. Anyways, the leaks contained a new character leak and then the new event and then a bunch of skins. So I thought we could maybe like go through these a little bit. Maybe not go through every skin, but maybe some like the more important skins. But more importantly, the new character who I hope is a real character because it's fucking silly,
yeah,
but I love
it. It's pretty fucking sick.
You want to go through like their kit, Nick? I think it's worth actually just like going like reading through it.
Yeah, we could just mention like. Real quick. Yeah. So basically, he's a void parasite who consumes jungle monsters, and kind of the jungle monsters he consumes changes his kit. So at level one, he can take over wolves or raptors. So he gets a permanent kit based around them. If he does wolves, he becomes melee. If he's raptors, he does ranged. And I assume the abilities change based on that. At level 6, he can do Krugs, Gromp, or Scuttle. So if he does Krugs, his abilities become AD. If he's Gromp, if he does Gromp, his abilities become AD or AP. And if he does Scuttle, he becomes a tank. He can at level 11, he can do red and blue buff. If he does red buff, he gets more damage. If he does blue buff, his abilities get more utility. And at level 16, he can do Dragon or Baron, but it works like Eye of the Herald, so your team must kill it. If he gets Dragon, he gets additional AoE on certain abilities, and if he's Baron, he gets more single target effectiveness. So they're all based off of the wolves or raptors that he takes at the very beginning, but they kind of just evolve as the game goes on, sort of like Kha'Zix. He gets the golden XP for overtaking a camp, sort of like Ivern.
Yeah.
There are 24 different final kit combinations, and he does have an ultimate. It'll come out after Fiddle and Volibear, and then... Ooh, that's pretty sick. And then this leak says that Volley has a new CC called Shocked, which stuns the enemy if they attempt to dash slash are displaced.
Huh.
So, pretty cool.
I think that's
pretty
a cool fucking character design, though.
I think that's sick as hell.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm excited.
Nick and I are having a conversation about, like, how are they going to shoehorn this character onto ARAM?
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah. I bet you just do it.
You probably
like it just like a little menu yeah. pops up and you're just like, oh, I'm gonna get wolves.
Yeah.
Something like that.
They create an alcove like, where they both spawn.
Yeah, Nick and I were just like, why don't they just have this character not work on ARAM? Like, it's yeah. really not that big of a deal. You know what I mean?
People would be pissed for some reason.
I hope
I would
this
be
is
so
real,
down though. For it. Yeah.
I could easily see it not being sick. Real though.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You know what the thing is? Like, if it's not real, it should be. Like, Riot should just take this and like, oh, this is a good idea.
The main reason why I think it's real is the event and skin leaks that I'm going to mention really quickly. They seem way more realistic than
yeah.
the character itself. So the next event they talked about is a Shuriman lore event. It's going to be a three-way versus event, kind of like the Garen versus Riven event. Is it Garen Riven? No, it's Garen Darius or Riven Yasuo.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think
but it's
going to
be like a three-way.
Yeah, it's going to be a three-way.
Oh, it was like Ashe, Sejuani, Lissandra.
Yeah, that's probably more accurate to
yeah.
that. So it's between Azir, Xerath, and Talia. So the outcome of the event is going to determine how the lore plays out. Kind of similar. Actually, has there been an event that has affected lore other than like the original Ionian Boots thing?
I don't think so.
Either way, super, super cool. I love the idea of like events changing how they like take a lore approach. Like I'm sure they have like a pretty mm-hmm. basic template, but like changing a few things based on how it turns out is like really, really cool to me. And then there's just a ton of skins that are like leaked. The three legendaries for those characters being an Azir skin, a Xerath skin, a Talia skin. The prestige skins that are coming out are there's gonna be a prestige Ezreal skin. They're a big April Fool's line. They're like really embracing the memes with this. They have like Earthrider Kled, Urfgot, better Urf Irelia. Like all those are like just funny, goofy skins. I'm glad they're like not taking it super seriously. Two more prestige skins with a Gragas one and an Elderwood Kindred one. The next Hextech skin is gonna be a new one. And then there's an pardon me.
Gross.
Yeah. And then the next then there's gonna be it seems like there's gonna be another Odyssey event. You know, the Odyssey game mode with like where you'd have to like play as Ziggs and all those characters.
Yeah, with augments.
Yeah, six more Odyssey skins for Vayne, Alistar, Jarvan, Zac, Alawi, and Poppy. They seem very tanky, though, so I'm not
yeah.
sure how that works as a dynamic.
Yeah.
I hope it's
a
game
lot of
mode
displacement.
To go along with it. Yeah, who knows? Maybe it'll just be like a more like small thing. Like, you know when they did the Project game mode? The little mm-hmm. AoE arena thing? Maybe
yeah.
it'll be something small like that, because the big one, I don't know if they got their return on investment on it. And then just a couple more skins. They're doing another like malware slash program line with a prestige mastery skin as like the highlight of that one. So got some more prestige skins, a lot of cool events, some fun skins. I'm excited though.
Nice. Yeah, it should be pretty cool. I don't think any of the skins like super stand out to me at the moment.
Nothing
if I'm remembering.
Like.
But
I mean, just like I guess the Elderwood line is like one of the coolest lines in the game, in my opinion. So getting Elderwood Ornn, Lux, and Kindred, I think Elderwood Kindred is going to be so fucking cool.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
what
yeah. That's the one that I'd probably like go for. But the others just seem.
What about
okay.
Odyssey Jarvan, your boy?
I don't think that's a I'm sorry. I was talking about the prestige skins.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I apologize. Oh yeah. Elderwood Kindred will have a prestige edition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's okay. Cool. So that takes us into the next little piece of news. Rank season starts January 10th. So very soon.
The race to diamond's on, boys.
Race to diamond. Oh, boy.
Oh, I wonder who's going to come last.
I literally will not be able to play until Monday.
Like, I'll be diamond
until Sunday night. Yeah, exactly.
Six like, games in last year.
What the fuck? It was over before my placements were.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. We'll see.
I don't know. It's more just a goofy event more than anything. Yeah, I definitely think games is a way better metric. I know we kind of just do both as like a more meme thing. Not that it really matters anyways. But I'm excited. Yeah. I really like playing ranked more than like normals and stuff. So
I do too. Yeah. I think my goal is to take it less seriously and play more.
Yeah. You played less than me this year.
I played like 50 games. I did not play very much. Yeah.
Yeah, just play it. Like, it's more fun to play by yourself than like just normals, I think, and stuff.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. Cool. So let's go into the patch notes. We got patch 10.1. I didn't break down
the patch notes because a lot of the changes seemed like pretty major because it's a new season. So
yeah, that's okay. We'll run through this super quick. So first up, Set. He's coming out. Cool. Looks like he'll be available January 14th.
I believe that's what it said.
About a week. So, we'll be talking more about him either next week or the week after. Depends on how much we get to play him or see him be played.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder how often he'll be banned. Cool.
He'll be banned 223% of the time, like the next character, Aphelios, who...
All right. I know. Go ahead and say that, and then...
That's why I wanted to... I know you're so triggered by it.
It's just bad math.
It is bad math. It's a bad metric. Either way, he is pick and banned a gross amount is what it's trying to get at.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't disagree. Yes.
Anyways, he's being nerfed in a couple of departments. They're nerfing his movement speed, his health a little bit, and then his alt interaction with Infernum, which was the biggest, I think, problem, because you could just one-hit teams if they were grouped together. I still think he's going to be overpowered, like, overall. It feels like you have no meaningful decisions, and I feel like that's the main problem with him. It feels like he does a lot of damage with all of them, and then certain combinations are just fucking disgusting. And then I think he also has an underlying problem of it's really hard to understand what's going on to any player who hasn't like played 10 games of him. Think of any of our friends, Nick. Think of like Alex, right? Who's played the game a bunch but hasn't played like a lot recently. If he came back to the game right now, I don't think he could lane against this character playing against him 10 times. You know what I mean?
I don't think you could lane against him and know what he's doing.
Yeah, like, you just get hit by shit. You just would have to deal with it. And I feel like that's problematic that he's so not clear on what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe this is an unpopular opinion. I don't feel like he is, like, permaban worthy. I do think he's definitely overpowered and probably the best AD carry in the right hands. But I still feel like there are other champions that I would ban over Aphelios every time.
I really do think it comes down to, like, the not understanding him part. Like, if I went and played 15 games of him, I don't think I'd ban him every game anymore. I feel like you could say that about any character, though. If Riven came out right now, Nick, and you didn't know what she did, and she was really hard to understand, I think you would just ban her. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, probably.
If you can't understand a character, like, how do you deal with them, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, is that, you know, you have to either be able to play against it effectively, or you just ban it out. And I think he's definitely overtuned and too strong, but also people don't know how to play against him. So those two factors on top of each other is where you get that quality math done and over 200% ban rate. That being said, we're going to move on over to Aurelion's Soul. Just a real minor nerf to his star damage at the earlier levels, because his first couple levels were a little bit too potent in his wave control. So you lose a couple damage at the first level, and by like level 4 or 5, I think it's about even again.
What, like, is Aurelion OP?
So Aurelion soul mains have super high win rates on him still. Like, he's one of those characters that scales so fucking hard with how good you are at the character.
Gotcha.
So I don't know. I saw, like, I was listening to a couple of the different channels, like tier lists for like last patch, and they were saying like, yeah, don't pick him up over like the Riven or the Fizzes or the Echoes or the whatevers of this patch, Diana's. But man, he's a character that sometimes just like slips under the rug of like nerfs and shit. So maybe pick him up. But here he is getting nerfed. So
yeah, Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
Nice. Azir, his ultimate base damage and the duration of the wall has been increased. So, he's back.
What do you think about the scaling on it, Nick?
It scales pretty hard, right? 175, 325, 475?
Not linear.
Wait, is it not?
I don't believe so.
It's 150 plus, every time, right?
Is it 150? Oh, shit. I thought it was 225. Yeah. Never mind. It is linear. Yeah, whatever. It's just like, well, before it was plus 100, plus 200, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. Last time, holy shit, getting to level 16 was insane. What the fuck?
But either way, like, that level 11 spike for him now, where he gets an extra 75 damage, is actually pretty big, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
And the wall duration is, like, the cool part of that, I think. Anyways, Corki, our base damage increased later. I don't know, I still hate this character. I think Colton and I had, like, a pretty long discussion about Corki, about, like, he's such a hard-to-work-around character until they just make his passive part of his kit. Like, just... or, like, remove it or rework it or something. Because you're playing around a five-minute cooldown that isn't that impactful for a five-minute cooldown.
Yeah. But, I mean, his passive... like, it's not like that's his the only part of his passive, right?
It's that he converts
to magic damage.
But it just feels so weird, man. It feels like it should be either lot bigger or, like, a lot smaller. It feels like you should wait for it, but maybe not. But, like, you win fights with it or does nothing. It's, like, really weird for, like, such a long cooldown.
What if they just remove the knockback?
That would be cool.
Remove the knockback and lower the slow?
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Like, because you can't have a 99% slow like that.
Yeah, of course.
They should just get
maybe, like, a 70%? That's probably what they should do, absolutely.
Yeah. But
anyway. Jax, his ultimate now triggers properly with Ginsu's Rage Blade, so he gets more powerful bops.
Yeah, he's still struggling because, like, Shojin's gone, I think, is the main problem. Mm-hmm. But, oh well. Jace, Cannon Q, base damage is increased later. I don't think this matters at all. You pick Jace for lighting phase is the reality. I don't think adding, 25 damage light is going to really change how he plays, but we'll see.
Yep. Callista, base health and armor growth is increased. So she gains 100 health per level?
From 89. Yeah. So she gets 11 more per level. So that's 190 over her whole... you're almost 200 health.
Yes, but she's among the highest, I think, for health growth, like, in the game period.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Did you see the long post about, like, how to fix her?
It's, like, keeping the hop range, like, when you're slowed, right?
It just, you can't have a game where... I think the stat was 122 characters, or was 132 or 123
something like that.
Out of 130 characters in the game have a slow, and a slow just fucks her. She can't do anything if she has a slow. So I don't know. They need to change something about that at least, or fucking make it so her passive doesn't do 90% AD. Oh, that character is a disaster.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Kassadin, his movement speed's down a little bit, and his ultimate mana penalty is now a little bit easier to read and notice on the actual, like, icon for it. Nerfing his W wasn't enough, somehow.
It wasn't.
Yeah. next is Kog'Maw, just our mana penalty duration now displays on the icon, so just more, like, quality of life, I guess.
Yeah. Mordekaiser, passive duration decreased. The movement speed is now flat. Probably doesn't do anything.
No.
But it's a step in the right direction. His passive is 100% the problem.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I'll go.
Boys?
Nami.
Boys, this next one?
Here, E now also empowers the target's abilities. So that not only their auto attacks, but their abilities can do a little bit of extra damage and hit some slows.
Boys, is it time for Cassiopeia Nami?
No, Nami, like, so enchanters are weak in general, and I feel like Nami was, like, kind of lacking even, like, with the other enchanters, right?
Yeah, probably. But I think this is weak. So cool.
It's really good. I love the idea. It's just making mages even better bottom lane, right?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Sejuani, some changes to her health growth increased, and then frost armor or resistances are increased as well, and E damage is increased later. Kind of boring changes to the character, but I actually feel like Sejuani is going to be like flavor of the month next month, personally, not because of these changes alone, but we're currently seeing like the circle jerk of not even circle jerk, it's kind of realistic of junglers end the game 4 or 5 levels below other characters, soul laners, stuff like that, right? So you have to play, I think we're gonna get into the meta where you have to play low econ or like low level junglers, like tanks and stuff. Like I feel like Sej fits into that perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see though.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Shyvana gains resistances when slaying Elder Dragon. Fury gains are increased in lieu of ultimate cooldown reduction when you kill Cloud Drakes. The E March target damage ratio and the monster damage cap has been increased. So this is a buff to Shyvana. Definitely better with the Cloud Drake. And her E does 0.5% of the target's max health better, which is or higher, more damage, which is better for like attack speed on hit Shyvana, which is the kind that I enjoy. So I hope they
AP Shyvana
they move her towards that and away from the fucking one hit XD mage.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, moving on to cool. Silas. He's got some lowered base stats early on, but better stats later in the game. Passive now gives attack speed. His W cooldown has been decreased. His E AP ratio has been increased. And his basic attack resetting with his abilities have been, for the most part, removed.
So this is tough, right? Mm-hmm. Because they are kind of taking away some of the, what's the way to word it? Like the flavor you could do on Silas,
yeah,
with the attacks, with the passive resets. But he also gets bonus attack speed now to sort of make up for it. It can stack up to 3 times rather than 2. It has a minion execute to make like your wave clear even better. But they took a lot of stuff away from him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of weird. They did make his E a huge damage ability. It does make no sense. It is up 150 base damage at max rank, and it goes from a 0.2 AP ratio to a 1.0 AP ratio. So a huge amount of damage got added to his kit.
It doesn't have a shield anymore, though, which is something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they even increased the base number on it by 150.
Yeah, that's what I was mentioning.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear that part.
No, that's okay. Yeah, so the, like, 150, like, base damage, it does basically double damage it did before. And this is on the E2, so when he shoots the chains out and he pulls himself to someone,
mm-hmm,
this is going to do more damage. 150 base damage, double base damage, and then a fuck ton more with scaling. So it'll be pretty interesting. I'm curious to see how these changes, I don't know, what they do to him.
It seems silly, though. Whatever.
It does seem kind of silly, yeah.
Next up is Varus. His Q cooldown and Blight cooldown refund is decreased. It's interesting. His Q is now down to 10 seconds, so with max CDR Varus, it's down to 6, which is kind of interesting. Maybe you can get back to like that weird like pseudo poke Varus build, which I think was
mid lane lethality.
Yeah, we could see it come back.
Yeah,
we could. I don't think we will. I don't think this is nearly enough. But Vi, her alt now makes her unstoppable for its entire duration, not just the beginning of it.
I did not realize she wasn't.
Same.
There's like a couple wonky frames, and like particularly if it like starts the uppercut and then they like get moved, it can be weird. So this seems more of almost like a bug fix.
Dumb. Yeah. Zyra, empowered E slow is decreased. Nice.
Well, kind of. It stacks now. So before
it was stacks. 30%, okay, so if there are 2 plants hitting it, it's the same as before, right?
It's 50% now. So it was 30% originally, now it's 25%, but it stacks up to 2 times.
Oh.
So So this is like kind of, so it's a buff no matter what, right? I don't think it's like huge buff, but I also think Zyra's been like a super underplayed mage. I feel like she's actually like a super, super strong bottom laner. Just a lot of people haven't been playing her, and I feel like this will just at least get people to like play her. And she's kind of going to be like that Karma situation, you know, a couple months ago where they buffed Karma and Karma was already OP. I think that's going to like happen with her. We'll see though.
I do think she's quite strong into engage champs as long as she doesn't get one hit before she gets her combo off.
Yeah, she does really, really well against like shit like Braum, Alistar, you know, all that shit. Like she like holds them back really well, I find.
Mm-hmm. I think she'd be good into Nautilus too, because he only has a go in ability. Like he has no escape, so he's got to commit to that. Oh, yeah. And then there's been some changes to support items. I'm not going to go through all of them real quick. I can sum it up in
a real quick thing.
A lot of it's just regen.
So they've added health regen to the Spoils of War items. They've added mana regen to the tribute items. And then all of them have been lowered in terms of your final stats you get. So lowered AP and AD on the Spoils of War items, and lowered AP, AD, and health on the tribute items. So a little bit more in terms of just like regeneration and less in base stats. Hey, they're support items. They shouldn't be giving them a lot of damage. Good changes, in my opinion.
Nice. I agree.
Conqueror now shows total healing in its tooltip.
You thought they would nerf it when it came up. Joke's on you.
Speaking of something that will need a nerf. Omnistone. Omnistone gets buffed.
Again.
Cooldown is decreased. I don't think it'll need to be nerfed yet. But it's like getting buffed and buffed and buffed and buffed and buffed.
Mm-hmm.
Quite worried.
They should just remove it and come up with a better keystone.
True.
It's a shame because I think it's such a cool idea. But the guaranteed, I don't know, trading
it's
potential.
It's cool that they put all that work into it, though, like making it like work like better in certain situations, like trying to optimize it and stuff. I think like the only good characters that use it are like Ezreal, I think, is probably the best user of it now in the game.
I think Jax followed by shit.
I think Jax is good with it. Alawi's mains run it. Skarner top player runs it. Like, there's a couple weird ones where it's like more like if you don't have a keystone, it's crazy good. Or Jax, I feel like Jax just uses them all, but Ezreal is definitely the best. You can just use them all super easily.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue with it though, is like it's so niche that like that's the reason that they had to get rid of Kleptomancy, is because like five characters abused the shit out of it, and then it was just dog shit everywhere else. And like that's gonna be the same thing eventually with Omnistone, is it's gonna be like three or four characters real, real good with it, and everyone else just can't access that. Like, it's a really good, fun idea, but I don't think it's actually, like, good for the game in its current state. But with that being said, there were some bug fixes. Warwick's Q. Ardent Sensor doesn't activate on the champion shielding themselves. Diana main.
Goodbye, Diana.
Diana, goodbye. Fuck you. That was dumb.
Yeah.
And some nonsense about missile abilities, whatever. There's upcoming skins. Tell us about those.
The Mecha Kingdoms line, Jax, Leona, Draven, Set, Garen, and there's a Garen Prestige Edition, and then Freljord, Sylas, which looks super cool.
They all look really cool, though. Like, I usually hate, like, the Mecha skins and stuff, but they actually look, like, really, really cool this time.
They do. They do. Nice. And that's it for the patch. Aiden, was there anything for the TFT patch?
So I'm just going to quickly talk about TFT stuff. I haven't played TFT like that much other than like a couple casual games in a while. So let's go over some of the bigger things. The main thing is they added two more characters and a new trait. They added Lunar, which is a two trait set, and it's every 7 seconds your team gains 15% critical strike, 15% critical strike damage, and 10% spell power, stacking up to 4 times, meaning over the 28 seconds or whatever you can like get a ton of stats. The characters they added are Leona. She's a tier 1 warden, and her ability is like her W from League, where she like becomes tanky, so she's like takes reduced damage for like a couple seconds, which is cool. And then Karma's a tier 3 mystic. And her ability is her tether ability. So she, like, well, it's kind of her tether and her shield. She, like, tethers to an ally and shields them. And then she absorbs some damage for them, which is kind of cool. I feel like Karma's pretty weak and Leona's like pretty strong, just because there's like a lot of wardens in the game now. Lunar's itself is kind of a weak trait overall, because the main problem is that the characters you want to be running critical strike damage or spell power, like usually have fast fights because they're like assassin characters or like AD carries or whatever, right? So they don't last 28 seconds in a fight, right? To get like the full stacking of it. That being said, you can run like full tank teams with it, like 2 Mystic, 6 Warden or something, and your tanks can like still do a lot of damage. Like even though tanks don't do a lot of damage, like a tank having 60% crit and 60% crit damage and 40% spell power, it's still gonna do a little bit. So like I feel like it's the best way to play them, but I think Lunar is a little bit weak. It's a weird bonus to throw in because the units that need it don't really synergize with it very well. As for other things, they added some new little legends. The Kraggle kind of is like a little Galio stone gargoyle thing. I don't really like him. Little Flutterbug is like a cute little insect thing. And then Talker is super cute. It's like a little mechanical owl. they're really good at designing cute things that you want to spend money on.
Do we still hate little legends?
I've loved them from the beginning. I think they're like...
I mean, we as like Reddit. Do we still hate it?
I think Reddit hates TFT in general. I think that's the main thing. Because it's like...
Because it's a casual game mode. It's not an elite competitive scene.
Whenever like someone posts like patch notes or anything related to it, they're like, go to the TFT Reddit.
Jesus.
Yeah, so... weird. They added some new... They replaced some items. So they replaced Repeating Crossbow, which was like the really shit one where it like would drop off units when they die and like become stronger. They replaced that with Last Whisper, which reduce target's armor. So it's like a pretty cool effect. They made Titan's Resolve, which is a completely new item that replaces Phantom Dancer. And this is whenever a character gets hit or inflicts a critical strike, they gain 2% stacking damage. And then when they like get fully... when they get 50 stacks, they get 25 armor and magic resist. So you can either put this on a tank and like they get hit a bunch and like get really strong, or you can put it on a carry and hope that they hit enough to get the stacking damage. So it's interesting. I'm not sure how good it is though. They made Bramble's Vest, which is just 2 chainmail. They got rid of Thornmail. The new thing, new Bramble Vest negates bonus damage from critical hits, and on being hit by a basic attack, you deal some damage back to them, which I think is pretty interesting. They reworked Frozen Heart. It's pretty similar though. They reworked Iceborne Gauntlet. Once again, pretty similar. Still freezes around them, but it's based on your attacks rather than dodging, which was kind of a weird mechanic to put on an item. They reworked Ionic Spark, which like zaps people within like a radius rather than just people who cast spells. They reworked Quicksilver, which it just makes them immune to crowd control now, which I think is better than having like a shield that refreshes every once in a while. It's like a cool, this might be like a stronger item now overall. And then they've like changed a bunch of scaling. Before, a lot of the items were like strong early or strong late, but now they scale based on the wearer's star level. So I think that's like a really cool way of balancing the way that these items work. Other than that, there's just like some nerfs and buffs to characters. I personally don't know enough about whether they're not going to make them good or bad. I really do trust their like balancing team. Usually it feels pretty good. Usually there's just like a couple like maybe comps that are above the rest, but for the most part, like every comp seems playable this set. So I'm really enjoying TFT though overall.
Hell yeah. Cool. So that's it for the news. That was a lot, but we got through it. Let's get into the stories, the reviews. The review, singular.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and read this one. So this is from Dead Militia. He gives 5 stars, and he said, "Been listening for almost 2 years now. Figured I should help out big music algorithms by writing a review. 5 stories for helping me fall asleep every night." And then he gives us 5 fox emojis.
Nice. Why does that look like 6? Am I dumb?
You don't know how to count?
That's why it looks like 6.
It is 5, but why does it look like 6?
It doesn't. It looks like 5.
Like, don't count, but like, look at them.
Because my adult human brain can count.
Why is 6 afraid of 7? Because guaranteed guffaws.
True. What we have this week, because we're all busy, I want to talk about Yumi. I put cat monkey bot. So no, I've been playing a bunch of Yumi and Wukong Bottom. Not that I hate stealing content from other people, but we talked about Topps Garner like 3 weeks ago, and that was a Donghyop video, and this is also a video by him on YouTube, so be sure to check him out. He has a big audience. He creates really, really good content, but I've had so much success with this compared to the Skarner one, which I think is a little bit more gimmicky, and that player might have just like been really good at the game playing something suboptimal. I think this actually just smashes games. So what you do is you play Wukong AD carry, Yumi support. And what I like the most about this is it takes two characters that are absolute trash right now and makes a really powerful combination out of that. And I feel like that is a super unique thing that you can do in this game, like by experimenting and like trying new shit. So I always like to highlight stuff like this.
Do you think it gets one of them or both nerfed?
I think Yumi gets nerfed good. By it.
Yeah.
Because I think Yumi's like justifiably powerful enough to maybe get a nerf. I don't see a world in which they can nerf Wukong without like laughing at themselves, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Anyways, the gist of the build, or at least the gist of the idea, is that Wukong is a character who likes to one hit 80 carries, right? One hit carries, whatever. And the only thing that he's kind of gated by is that he can't get in on people fast enough, and then he like falls off late game like a lot of these like 80 kind of bruiser assassin-esque characters, right? And Yumi is a character who can speed him up, can give him extra stats. Her W gives 20% bonus stats, which is disgusting late game on a character who builds glass cannon. And also, there's no character more of a glass cannon than Wukong. I feel like late game, whenever we play it, he has like 1,400 health, like total. That character dies to anything. Like, well, he'll be like fighting creeps, and you'll like be dying to them. So it's a really cool combination. I'd recommend trying it out. I'm going to run us through both the characters really quick. So Wukong, you're playing him bottom lane, meaning you're going to give up a ton of CS early game. But your build, after you get an early game, is you're going to be running Electrocute as your keystone. This is just like to improve your burst a little more, picking up Sudden Impact, Eyeball Collection, Relentless Hunter for the movement speed. And then you go Sorcery secondary, picking up Adaptive Focus and Gathering Storm. You pick up Adaptive Focus because Yumi's going to always, like, you're always going to be full HP when you're, like, engaging, because Yumi can top you off really, really easily. And then, yeah, you're just going to go, like, full Glass Cannon with your build, picking up Duskblade, Yomu's, Edge of Night, Tiamat. You can pick up, if you need Wave Clear, you go Moby's Boots every single game, and then you can start to diversify your build a little bit late game after you always have to go, Duskblade, Yomu's for sure, though. And I think Edge of Night is almost needed in most games, because there's a lot of characters who can like just get off you if you don't have that spell shield.
Mm-hmm. Or it can stop you from getting it entirely.
Like, yeah, exactly. So then you can, like, late game, you can pick up whatever you need, whether it be like a GA, some lifesteal, one of the other lethality items. The lethality item that detects wards, because that's not on Duskblade anymore. I can't remember what it's called. Umbral Blade. There's a ton of options late game, but your core mainly is just picking up like these like traditional lethality items like Duskblade, Yomu's. It's just to get you in and get you to do enough damage to one hit their AD carry at any stage of the game. Yumi, on the other hand, though, she has this is the most fun I've had playing Yumi. I've only played Yumi like two or three times before. I was playing Yumi in this combo when we played it. But it was actually pretty interactive for the most part. Laning phase, as I mentioned, you kind of just get dicked and they take whatever they want until you guys hit level 6. So mainly in lane, you're just like poking with your autos to get shields and putting on your Wukong so he can last hit, and then healing him up using all your mana to let him survive lane. What you actually run on her is you run Airy for extra shield and heal stuff, picking up Mana Flow Band, Absolute Focus, and Gathering Storm. Once again, you're Yumi, so you're going to be at 100% just sitting on people most of the game, so you might as well have more AP. And then you pick up Precision as your secondary, grabbing Presence of Mind and Coup de Grace. And then for actual like itemization, her itemization, you always build the exact same 6 items every single game. It just depends on the order that you're building them. So your first 3 items, you decide between Ardent Sensor, Shirelia's, or Redemption. Ardent Sensor if you need bigger heals, Shirelia if you need harder engage, or Redemption if you need like something to heal you up like during fights, if the fights go a little bit longer, if they have more tanks and stuff. And then you always end the game picking up combination of Mikhail's, Athene's, and Magia's. On your first back, you always pick up Dark Seal because you just sit on people and you get free stacks the entire game. It's hard to end the game with like less than 10 stacks on your Magia's. Like, she's just really, really good at doing that.
Yeah, it's hard to kill Yumi unless like your team is getting stomped, and at that point, it really doesn't matter. But like, she just gets crazy high KDAs, which means she's going to stack Magia's and Dark Seal very well.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, though, you definitely need to have some sort of communication with your Wukong, though, because if he engages fights that get you guys killed, he kills both you 100% of the time, right? He can't, like, make dumb trades. He has to go for the guaranteed ones. But when you go for the guaranteed ones, it's super, super free, and I don't know how anyone deals with this. I feel like you can even one-hit, like, a lot of tanks pretty easily with this build. It does crazy damage. And if a lot of people don't understand why it does so much damage, Yumi gives 20% of her, or what's the exact wording of it? Do you know how it works, Nick, off the top of your head?
It's like an increase of both of their stats by a percentage.
I know it's 20%. I know like by like mid game or so, it will like be 150 adaptive stats to Wukong, which is like an extra 120 AD or something gross, or like 100 AD, 110 AD. Which is absolutely disgusting. I just know that after like Wukong picks up his first item, which is like either Duskblade or Yomu's, he's usually sitting at 380 because of Yumi's passive, or Yumi's W passive, which any character sitting at 380 just like means you can one-hit anyone. I would really recommend like watching the video on Donghyup's channel and just like watching them play a little bit, but it's really easy to pilot other than like the beginning where you just have to give up like 1-6 of CS, really just farming under turret. And farming under turret's really not that bad because Yumi can like, kind of heal for free as long as your Yumi doesn't play like a dumbass and get killed while being off him. It's really not that bad. And then you just kill anyone you want. You see someone on the map, you kill them because Wukong goes invisible. You speed him up with heal, Shirelia's, whatever. They can't get away. It's really hard.
Yeah.
The only other thing to mention is that one of the weakest points of Wukong is the fact that his ultimate kind of sucks wiener. Like it's really, really bad. Like usually a lot of Wukong mains will cancel his ultimate to do more damage. You don't have to with this build because Wukong's ultimate knocks them up for however long. If you go in Wukong ultimate and then Yumi starts ulting, by the time Wukong's ult is over, Yumi has them stunned with her ult. So it's like a crazy good combo that you can use, and it's really hard to miss. I just feel like they synergize super well. The main reason why I'm highlighting this is I feel like it's really cool to see people innovate characters that are bad, and I don't know. Yeah. I really think that's cool.
Yeah, so, and I think that this I really recommend is like another really good example of like Skarner from the last episode, where it's just like everyone is pretty well of the opinion that like Skarner's just not very good, but then there is someone out there who figured out a way to make it work, and I think that says a lot about the game that like that exists out there, and there's probably undiscovered builds for many champions that are ways to make them viable that are really interesting. So encouraging if you don't want to be a meta slave.
I posted in our Discord early and I just posted it again, but like I did play it on a Smurf to like learn it with one of my friends, but we were playing at like what, like low platinum elo on our Smurf, and It's crazy, man. I have a 28.7 KDA on Yumi after four games, and I feel like it could have been higher because like we trolled one of the games pretty hard by like not knowing how to engage, not knowing how to play lane and stuff like that. I feel like you'll have so much fun if you play it with a friend, though. Definitely don't play it alone. Don't just go into solo queue and say, "Hey, man, can you play Wukong for me?" Because that won't end very well. But really try it out, Yumi. As much as we are in the Fuck Yumi Club here on LeagueCast, I had a lot of fun.
Nice. Well, good. That sounds super fun. I'm down to see it, down to try it. Yeah. So next up, let's talk about the new LCS format. So real quick, I think it's important to mention this is only for NA, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that would be LEC otherwise. Games will be played Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. They're messing with the time to be a little bit better for NA viewers. It's definitely going to be worse for viewers that aren't in NA, but I think their goal is to grow the NA viewer base and have it sort of absorb that loss. There's going to be some Academy games on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, which will they'll get a chance to play on the stage, the Academy players. They're going to update the LCS playoff format for spring and summer. It's going to take place over 4 weeks. The Academy playoffs format has been updated, and the three teams to qualify for Worlds will do so in summer playoffs instead of regional qualifier and championship points. So we talked about this a lot earlier, Aiden and I. I guess the very short about the playoff format, which is the big change, is that it's going to be between eight teams. So eight of the 10 teams go to playoffs. The first, let me make sure I get this right. The first matchup will be seeds 5, 6, 7, and 8. And that's a single elimination, right? And then it's going to be double elimination from there.
Well, not necessarily. So the way that it works is, I have an easier way of saying it.
Okay.
The summer playoff format, it originally went from being a top six team bracket with the first seed getting first seed at Worlds, with the team with the most points getting second seed at World, and then there was a gauntlet after the fact with whatever teams weren't already qualified to go for the third seed. You'd have to run the entire gauntlet, and the winner of the gauntlet got third seed for Worlds. Now all three of these seeds are determined through this one eight team playoff bracket from the original 10 teams of the split. The way that it works is, think of it as a double elimination bracket where the first and second seed get a bye in the first round, and the seventh and eighth seed, the bottom two seeds, start in loser's bracket.
Okay.
So you have your original regular matches with third playing sixth, fourth playing fifth. Those guys go on to play first and second seed. The losers of those first two matches go down to the loser's bracket and start playing against eighth and seventh. And then you start working your way up the bracket, winners and losers, people dropping out of the top winner's bracket to the loser's bracket, and people from the loser's bracket who lose getting knocked out of the tournament. This goes on until you get to the loser of the winner's bracket before grand finals plays the winner of the loser's bracket, and that determines third seed. And then both the teams who make it to the grand finals are awarded first and second seed, depending on who wins. So meaning there is no loser's bracket for, it's not double elimination for the team who makes it all the way through winners, is the problem of this format, I guess.
Yeah, so I was seeing a comment that said the same thing. I would be fine with the bracket reset. I don't think other viewers would be. Especially ones who visit in person. But someone was saying that in Heroes of the Storm, if you are on the winner side, you just start a game up.
Yeah, so like a lot of games don't do bracket resets for, like, a lot of longer games don't do bracket resets for top. Fighting games do, which I guess makes sense, because what fighting game round, like, sets are 20 to 30 minutes, whereas League of Legends set is 3 hours, potentially, right? So I understand not doing bracket reset. I do think it kind of feels bad if you're in the winner's spot and then you lose, because you might have beat someone who you should have in theory knocked out of the tournament, who now wins because they beat you. So you're 1-1 in theory in sets, right?
You know how that changes instantly?
How?
TSM loses.
Yeah.
TSM makes it all the way to winner's finals and then they lose.
I think the team that they beat
right away.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree there's problems with it. I don't think it's a permanent system.
Yeah.
I also feel like giving the team who won this the original set one game up, I also think that's a super jank way of doing it as well. It just feels weird, you know what I mean? Having a two-game grand final, it feels really odd to me.
Yeah.
I saw the best format, but it doesn't work for League again, I think it was Halo. It was Halo. So Halo does best of fives, and then... wait, it was the best of five? I think they do best of fives. No, they do best of sevens, right? So they do best of sevens. So if the team, they play best of seven throughout the entire tournament, right? And they get to grands, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way that it works is your best of seven score previously against that team shifts into a best of 15.
Oh, I love that, actually.
Meaning if you beat them 4-2, this starts 4-2. In a best
that's
of 50.
That's so smart.
Like, that's brilliant. But the only way this would work for League is if you started with a best of 3 and you moved to best of 7, right? So meaning TSM and Cloud9 play in winner's bracket, right? And TSM beats them 2-1. And then they meet in grands again, and it's 2-1 in a best of seven. But that's the only way it works, right? Because you can't change from... You'd have to do a best of nine in this situation.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really
alternatively,
work.
Alternatively, best of five, and then winner take all best of one.
Ooh.
If you reset it, you just got to win a game.
Yeah, that'd be...
God, that'd be so hype.
That'd be so... That's not the worst idea, right? Yeah, you reset it, because you have to beat them 3 out of 5 games, and then it's a best of... I actually like that, Nick.
I do too. I think like, because I think there should be a bracket reset, right? Yeah. Because otherwise it's just like, it just kind of sucks. But I don't think they can do 2 best of 5 series. But just a YOLO, like best of one, like prove it wasn't a fluke.
I guess the way that feels shitty though is if they 3-0 them and then the other team wins one game.
Yeah, that's true.
That's worse, right? That's definitely worse.
That's way worse. I don't know. Feel real bad.
That's a cool. It's cool as fuck though for Hyatt.
Yeah, can you imagine if that was how it worked and G2 fucking memed it? Like they threw the series 0-3, sandbagged the shit out of it, then came out with a crazy strat to win the best of one and just take the fucking tournament.
That's the thing. Like they had the chance to because they were on winner side, right? Yeah. They didn't lose, unlike the other team.
I guess.
Yeah, it's tough. It definitely feels bad. Yeah, if that happened to CLG, I would be pissed.
I think the Heroes of the Stormway is the only way that it works, is like just giving them artificial one game. But I feel like that feels so jank that I'd rather just not even have a bracket reset at all or like anything to do with that.
Yeah, it's just going to feel so shit as soon as that first winner side loses.
Mm-hmm.
But
either way, we kind of talked about that a bunch. I think overall it improves a lot of things. I think double elimination is just a better format. You get a better finals almost certainly out of this. The other concerns that Nick and I were discussing today was, do we want to have the 8th and 7th seed in a position to make worlds, right? It meaning you, first of all, summer split or spring split means nothing, right? Spring split, all spring split does here for you now is it qualifies you for Rift Rivals if they do it, they haven't announced anything, or MSI, which does nothing, right? And then you go into summer and nothing matter. I guess it does matter. Seeding is huge. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to undervalue seeding.
Seeding is absolutely huge. Yes. And I will concede that point to you for sure.
But you go through 9 weeks of games to only drop 2 teams, right? Is like your point.
Yeah.
Which does feel shitty, right? It feels a little bit like a waste. I do think it has potential to create more hype moments, having an 8th seed team make their way all the way up through the bracket, which would be super, super cool. My point was that regardless, I would rather have the better team go to Worlds, right? Meaning the better team who's playing after these 9 weeks of play, I'd rather have them make their way through the bracket and beat a 3rd or 4th seed team, right? And get a spot at Worlds. It does kind of feel like the splits are pointless, though, which I completely understand from like your viewer point of view.
Yeah. And that's sort of what I was mentioning. Like, I absolutely agree with you that the eighth seed, if they deserve to go, should go, right? But for the previous 9 weeks, it doesn't mean anything. Like, as long as you can avoid being 9th or 10th seed, which I'm going to go ahead and say it, every single team has a decent chance to, like, just statistically speaking, I think it becomes like it takes a lot of, I don't know. It doesn't incentivize me to watch games that either aren't interesting between like high seeds and or games that don't involve the team that I support. And I don't think I'm the only one who feels that way, I guess. And then I don't think there's 8 good teams in NA. Like,
I agree.
Straight up. I think we could maybe make an argument for 6 some years, but certainly not 8. There's never been 8 teams that deserve to go to Worlds that have been in NA.
I guess my perspective is that, like, no matter what, this will award the better teams, which overall is a better system in my opinion. I 100% see your point of view of like it just feels worse as a viewer's perspective, right? Like, just we did all this for nothing, why don't we just include all 10 teams, right? And let the ninth and tenth team make a run for it, right? Who cares?
Honestly, yeah, like
I guess like the other perspective though is that it was kind of already 8 teams before. It was 7, I guess, in theory, because the top 2 would all auto qualify, then you'd have Gauntlet. Because Cloud9 was the 7th place team in the split where they made Worlds that Gauntlet run season like 2 years ago. It just felt different, though, because it was still a six-man bracket because two teams have already qualified. So, I don't know. I feel like this will give us the best results regardless. It just feels... It can feel bad if you look at it from other perspectives, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be best of both worlds. Like, I think we're going to see, like, the best teams from NA go to Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think we're going to see very pointless, low viewership regular season games.
Yep.
Like, who's going to be tuning in week... I don't know, two for like Dignitas versus FlyQuest.
Yeah,
like there's like zero. It's gonna be like 3K viewers.
And
but
I think what they're doing is good though overall. Like I think mixing in Academy games is fucking brilliant, right?
Absolutely. I would love to watch more Academy.
Like rather than have five LCS games, have four LCS games in an Academy game. That's so brilliant, right? Mm-hmm. You're already sitting down and watching it. Oh, I'll watch one more Academy game. Why not? I'll see like what these players are playing. Maybe they're playing crazy different shit that's not being played in LCS, right? It's smart. I still think like they need to fix something about Spring Split. We were talking about that a little bit earlier in the fact that playing a full split for what seems like nothing feels really weird, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't even affect your seeding next split, right?
No.
It doesn't do anything.
Does MSI still affect how many teams go to Worlds?
So the way that MSI and Worlds works is that the top four teams have three seeds already in the... the top team has already guarantees all three seeds in the like main event, right?
And that's, top four is
the play-ins,
right?
Yeah. And that's determined by how you've done it. Like these international events over the past like 2 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, Nick and I were discussing this. I feel like this would be super sick. Make the first split like a way that you champion a team, right? You champion a team because this team won Spring Split. So they're going to go to this international event, and this international event has rewards for the region, meaning the winner of MSI gets a fourth team at Worlds. I feel like that would be a cool way of doing it, right? It like doesn't give you benefits for like your team individually or even your team in the split, but gives you benefits for your region to do well. It makes you want to like do this, right? You want more teams of your region to go to Worlds. I feel like that would be like a good middleman solution.
Mm-hmm. And that we were saying that the four seed auto qualifies to play-ins.
Why not?
But
you have three. It does either way. Like I feel like having a fourth team in Worlds just by like winning MSI would be such a cool way to make MSI mm-hmm. mean something. Right now it's like, oh cool, you're current, it's the other international event, so I guess it's important, but it doesn't really feel as important.
Yeah. Yep. But that's it. I mean, they're already going through with it, so there's not a ton of use debating it yet. I guess we'll see how things like turn out.
I hope it goes well.
I hope so too. I think it's kind of weird that every region has different like formats now.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like that's something you would want to, like, have uniform and solved at this point, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's weird how best of threes work in China and Korea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why they can't work in NA and EU, but maybe I don't understand enough.
Yeah. Who knows? Roundtable.
Yeah, roundtable.
I guess 3 weeks ago at this point.
3 weeks ago, roundtable. It was. I'm finding it right now. It's right here.
It's right at the top. Start the section.
Choose a champion. What is the New Year's resolution? Eric on Facebook said Burloff, work on achieving sobriety. Not gonna happen. Connor said Echo, figure out how to go forward in time. What if Echo gets a rework, Nick, and he can go both ways in time?
Oh, that's so sick. How do you do that in a game?
So everyone in League of Legends 2 is hooked up to like a brain thing, so it knows what your decisions are going to be for the next five seconds, and he just like goes through all those.
Wait. He pauses the game, except not for him.
Yeah, I was going to say, everyone just gets frozen for like 3 seconds.
That's actually sick.
Global Holy CC.
Yeah.
That's OP, no matter what how you paint it.
Oh, absolutely.
Christian said, Sona, speech therapy. That's fucked up. Mike said, Senna, kill Thresh. Aaron said, Jhin, learning to count to five. From our Discord, Yashiru said Poppy to find that hero. Blake said Yumi to become emotionally independent. And King K said Amumu, finally make a friend frowning face. And then my favorite thing was a bunch of people in a row posted, they memed on each other. Neoblade started it by saying Gangplank, another year, another barrel. Then a scientist said, Gragas, another year, another barrel. And then Brother Dust said, Corky, another year, another barrel. And then Alfred said, Tom Kench, another year, another barrel. And then Texan said, of soup, and I thought that was really funny. I like when you guys work together to make funny
shit.
That was
pretty fucking great, yeah.
This week's question, though, is what champion would be the worst if they had no thumbs?
Boom, you ready?
Yeah.
Rumble. Why would pilot's a mech, right? And yeah. And if you're holding the joysticks, you got it. You press the buttons with the thumbs. If he doesn't have thumbs, like, how does that work? It doesn't.
I feel like it's really easy to nub, like, stuff as, like, a pilot.
Oh, okay, so they have nubs, right? Is that what you're saying? I was just thinking it's, like, it's just four flat. Fingers. It's just flat. Like, index finger all the way to your wrist is one line.
You can still,
you can still make joysticks with, like, trigger buttons.
Yeah, I feel like he'd be fine.
No, but, okay, it's not, like, how do they adapt, like, because they've lived with no thumbs their whole life, right? You're just removing the thumbs right now.
That's fair.
Rommel doesn't have any thumbs anymore. He's currently set up for thumbs. Doesn't work.
Okay, cool. What do you think?
Name me a better one.
I'm going to say, how does Draven catch his axes without thumbs?
Not well.
Easy, he just uses his nub. He's been doing it his whole life, so he's good at it.
That's a different.
He's good at it his whole life, so he uses his index finger instead.
Aiden, what is your answer?
Mine was a Nautilus, though, because so I think you could say anyone who carries something, right? Like, ye carrying a sword, whatever, right? Because, like, it's hard to carry shit without thumbs. But I feel like carrying a huge fucking anchor over your shoulder is just going to, like, mess up everything about your life. And I feel like Nautilus would really, really struggle with it overall. So if you want to tell us who you think would be the worst character in League if they had no thumbs, you can hit us up on our Facebook page, send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or post in our roundtable section.
Nice. So let's get to mail fight. We have we got four emails. Someone sent it in while we were doing the show.
Hog.
So we got four emails. First one is from Lil Barnabas. Hello, fellas. I hope your week off is going is the great. I also bought my mom Catan. What do you call each resource? I believe the actual names are lumber, brick, wheat, wool, and ore. I think that's you're right. I call it wood and sheep, but am the same for the others. Much love, Sam Lil Barnabas. So I say wood, clay, wheat, sheep, and stone.
I will use them pretty interchangeably and mainly just to, like, fuck with people who are using other things. So, like, if someone's like, I'll trade you know, wheat for stone, I'm like, you mean ore? Or if they're, you know, like, I'll be that guy. But I use them all pretty interchangeably. Like, I will use both sheep and wool or wood and lumber, brick and clay, you know, wheat and grain. I've heard some people call it grain, and then, like, ore and stone. Some people I've heard call it rocks. Like, there are a lot of potential names, and it's all really fine as long as, like, people understand what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Thank you, Sam. Hope you're enjoying it.
Next up is from I'm a Fish, and he says, sorry, I'm a Fishy. He says, hey, it's I'm a Fishy. Here with a lot of very concise points and questions, except for one. So the first one. Here's a common buff to champion ultimates. Duration refreshes on enemy takedown. Guess who that nerfs? Okay, so it's like a trivia question. So if a character had the ultimate that their ultimate would refresh on enemy takedown.
I've already looked, so don't. Who does that, you guys
who
are
does
guessing.
That nerf? So this is, I guess, for Aiden and I, because I have not seen the end of the email yet.
I guess I could have guessed as well.
I don't know.
Well, now I can verify your answers.
Yeah, this is strange.
So I think an important, I'm going to give you guys a little, like, hint, is that it says duration refreshes rather than cooldown refreshes, which is an important distinction in this case.
Okay.
Oh, it'd be anyone who, like, lock. I feel like there's multiple. Like, so it'd be, like, someone like Mordekaiser, right?
Mordekaiser's the answer, yeah.
I feel like there's multiple, though. Like, characters that have people locked in. Like, wouldn't Jarvan also count, though?
Yeah, but he can turn it off.
I guess you can turn it off. Yeah, you can disable.
Oh, you can disable. I didn't know you actually could disable terminal.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah, you can just press it again. And it
Goes in. I feel like there's probably a couple characters like that where like.
I think Xerath is another one.
Yeah.
But again, you can cancel his. So like I think Mord is the right answer.
That makes sense.
Can you QSS your own ult?
No.
I was trying to think of, like, what would happen if, like, Kled duration refresh? You just kept going until he hit the fountain. Because you can't.
Yeah. Until he hits the next enemy.
You can't cancel it.
Yeah, you can't.
But, you know, Mord's definitely the right answer to that question. So we're going to move on to the second. How do I stop overcommitting? I always chase kills or overestimate my damage, tankiness, CC, etc. And escapes are underestimating my enemies. I die too often, and it's not a lack of map awareness. I'll know that 280 health enemies are in a bush, and that I'm at 300 health, and I'll commit to about commit thinking about it. I'll get at least one, but then I don't, or something of a similar nature. The problem occurs on every champ I've played ever in jungle. Lists a lot of junglers. As you can see, no matter whether it's a tank, bruiser, power farmer, mage, or assassin, I overextend and overestimate my advantages. Do I play more defensively, or do I continue this aggressive playstyle to learn my limits? I think that's really just like a choice in how you want to approach the game, because there are highly successful players who only take, you know, 100% plays, and they're also highly successful players that go really aggressive, take plays that are a bit of a toss-up, but they manage to do it enough that it works. I would lean into going towards your natural tendencies so you aren't fighting it, but be aware of it and try and, you know, really break down, you know, watch your game VODs, figure out what you're doing wrong, and learn how to play aggressively without just giving over free kills all the time.
Yeah.
Because I'm a very aggressive player, especially when it comes to junglers, that I'm going to go for the 60-40 play as opposed to waiting for a 70-30 or an 80-20. And it sometimes works, it sometimes doesn't. It's just a matter of trying to make sure that you can always identify that this is actually a 60-40 and not a 50-50 or, you know, something even worse than that.
On the other hand, as a defensive player, if your problem is bushes, as soon as they walk into the bush, turn around, just leave.
I do think
you ain't gotta be there.
There is some merit, though, to if you're dying a lot, just try not dying and see how much it improves your play. Like, it sounds so dumb.
Yeah.
Just don't die forehead. But, like, there's a lot of players who I see, like, die 10 times a game sort of thing. And I'm just like, just focus on not dying as much. And what a surprise. If you're alive more often, you can probably impact the game more often. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so on to question three. Why the shit can they not get a balanced Conqueror in the game? I need a Conqueror that's viable on ranged champions. My win rate on Kindred before the Conqueror change was 90%, then it went down to 85, now down to 79, only because I press the attack now. Because Conqueror can't really be balanced for melee and range, and it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I think it should be a melee-only rune, to be honest. And that they should implement a ranged-only rune.
That'd be fine.
Like, there should be...
I also think healing on a rune's bad.
Yeah, it's not great. Interesting statistic. The average win rate of a... The average win rate of a bronze player is 47%. The highest win rate champ in bronze is currently Volibear with a 49% win rate. I don't know how. These were extrapolated from OP.GG and League of Graphs. Because the way that, like, MMR works, you don't necessarily need to have, like, an over 50% win rate to climb.
I mean, it's not like every single bronze player... Oh, okay, okay, gotcha. I thought it was like, why are these numbers different? It's because nobody plays Volibear.
Also, the fact that they don't always have to play against bronze players as well, I guess, is the point. Yeah, because you can climb with negative win rates and lower your low, and you don't need to play against the same rank of people.
Yep, you could be playing against iron or silver, or even sometimes gold. Next one. The newest new build is the following. Aftershock with sorcery, Runic Echoes, Red Smite, Mobi's or Sorshoes, Proto Bell, Spirit Visage, Dead Man's Plate, and Gargoyle Stone Plate. r/Nunu mains told me AP Nunu is a remnant of the past, but they're wrong according to Korea. That seems really weird because it's like damaged item, then damage item, then tank item, then tank item, then tank item. Like, I guess that's probably actually not too bad because, like, you go damage until you really need the tankiness. I think that Nunu's damage is pretty okay base, and that even if you build full tank, you, like, if you're ahead, and you probably should be, since how good he is at ganking, like, you're going to do some damage in the way that tanks do damage because they're just ahead in the game. This is still not full AP Nunu by any means. But yeah, I think especially just like getting Runic Echoes on Nunu and then building a tank is pretty good. Next one, you know what would make jungle perfect? Buff the buff EXP. This helps every jungler except for Korean junglers who aren't allowed blue buff. Let's just make red.
I think buff the buff XP if you have a jungle item would be fine.
Yeah, you need jungle items for sure. You can't have like mid laners like taking a Russell, I think makes the it worse somehow.
Yeah, they take it even more frequently.
Next That's one fair. Is they need to revert Rift Herald stats to match dragons or make the second Herald like the first. Top is even more of an island now, and one failed gank or successful gank bottom can cost the game due to dragons and no counterplay with objectives.
Yeah, there's definitely a mismatch on like the weight of each half of the map. Top half is worth so much less than the bot half with the dragons.
I feel like they didn't expect that either. I felt like they knew dragons were going to be huge, but they thought like making two heralds was going to make top like just as important. But like both heralds feel like shit, and then dragons feel like the most important thing in the game.
What if dragon just alternated where it spawned?
I don't think it's a bad
Who gives call. A shit, dude? Who gives a shit?
Right?
I
also think that honestly, like delaying soul one more, so you had to get five, isn't that bad. I feel like four, like it. As much as we said, oh, it's a late game win condition, it feels too early. Like in games where like you take early dragons, which a lot of junglers do right now because the game's like super tempo based. I feel like I got a 30 minute elder a couple days ago, or like a 27 minute elder. Like, which is insane.
Yeah, I could definitely, like, I'd be fine if they delayed it one more dragon. Because, like, as hard as it is to get, for how strong it is, it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you again for the email. I'm a fishy. Those are some good questions, conversation points, trivia, etc.
Next question. Our next email is from Charcoal19. Good morning, good afternoon, or night. It's currently night for us. This is Charcoal19 again with some points of confusion for me. Well, really just one. Why is AP and AD worth different amounts? Like, why is Adaptive Force worth 1 AP and 0.7 AD? And how come an equal amount of gold could be more AP than AD? It just makes things confusing for new players. Why can't they just lower AP amounts on items and increase AP ratios? Or maybe I'm wrong and this was a waste of time. Thanks for reading this. I'm sorry for doing with Yumi for a game. Charcoal19. We've accepted your apology.
I have an answer because I've been playing a lot of Yumi, so I kind of like looked into adaptive stats. So adaptive stats are adaptive gives you either, if you have one adaptive, gives you one AP or 0.06 AD. That's because the gold to value breakpoints on those items are, I think AD is 35 gold per AD is the breakpoint, whereas I think for AP it's like 20 gold is one AP. Based on base component amounts. So meaning if you multiply your 35 gold for one AD by 0.6, you get the amount of AP, right? So it actually is balanced like properly. Why don't they change AP to like be the same is an interesting question. I guess it's because AD is just a better stat than AP overall, right? Because every character in the game can use AD. Your casters can still auto attack, right? And then also you want, it's weird. I guess in theory you could change the entire game to have it so that AP scales differently, but I still think you do run into the problem of like AD is just a better stat because you have AP characters that can auto attack, or you have hybrid characters that use both, right? And then those would be just be OP if both stats were like equal, right?
It's tough because, like, again, you realistically and entirely could change the value of every AP item in the game, change the ratio and scaling of every ability power scaling and AD scaling in the game to make it work out that AP and AD are worth exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you would have to change, like, again, like, every AP item, every AD item, every armor item, every magic resist item, every AD and AP scaling. You'd have to change the way that auto attacks scale, like, against turrets. You'd have to change, like, critical scaling. Like, you'd literally have to change the entire nature of the game and every item. And that would be way more change than, and like, more stuff to learn than just saying, hey, AP is a little bit cheaper than AD.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I mean, another thing is base stats. Every single character has base AD, but no character in the game starts with base AP.
That's a good point, actually.
Like, so it is harder early game. Like, early game attack damage characters are better than AP characters because they have more damage, like, in their kit. It's just a way to balance the game like that. It's super smart, I think. It's a fantastic way of handling, like, that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's always been that way, right? Like, yeah. there were masteries in runes back in the day that granted different values of, like, attack damage or AP.
They would just explicitly say it for every single one, so they made adaptive as a way to, like, just insert generic values for characters in the game, which I think is smart. It's just a little bit confusing, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, like, back in the day, the offensive tree was, like, you can take, like, 10 AD or, like, 15 AP, and it was just, like, you picked of two different masteries, whereas now it'd be, like, okay, you take the adaptive stat. And then there are other actual choices.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
It's confusing, but it's a lot less confusing than the alternative, I think. Cool. Thank you, Charcoal. I don't think that's something we've really talked about before.
No, not at all.
So, our last email you got in at the very last minute, my man, is from Hans, who said, I just wanted it to be known that I have scrolled down the entire Facebook page and liked every post. Also, I comment Gyarados every roundtable question because, one, he is my favorite Pokemon with a ferocious bite. And two, just trying to get you guys more likes and comments to make you more Facebook famous. I enjoy the show. I'll be in and out of Patreon depending on the month. Keep your ears floppy, Hans.
Oh.
Do you think... All right, question. Do you think that email's meant for us? And if not, do you think it's meant for GoCast?
No, it's meant for us. We have Garrett. I mean, I don't think he... Does he comment on...
I don't know. I know
he's definitely commented Gyarados before. I know that. It's definitely not every single, like, post. And he has been in and out of Patreon depending on the month. So it makes sense. It's just...
Huh.
I do know. Like, I've added his name and removed his name, like, based on the month of Patreon and stuff like that. He's, like, a really awesome dude. But I'm not sure about the comments. maybe that is GoCast as well, though. I know a lot of our listeners are GoCast listeners as well, though. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely have some crossover. It's fun. It's fun being in both Discords, I think.
Yeah.
That's it for episode 411. Thank you all for listening. If you want to check out our Twitter, it's at LeagueCast and at LeagueCastFrost. On Facebook, we are LeagueCast. Come talk to us on Discord. You can get our Discord server address, a link to it, on our website, which is leaguecastpodcast.com, or you can send us an email and we'll get you a link, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. You can address all other emails there. twitch.tv/bluebasket and /kinglardout are where we stream. And finally, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/leaguecast. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week for episode 412. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.